Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another Revelation Devotional. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. I hope that you are having a good Monday morning so far. We are looking forward to getting into Revelation 6. I do have a new mug I need to share with you. You guys know I love Star Wars, and I know love The Mandalorian and Grogu, Baby Yoda, as some people still call him, but got this new mug. Snack, attack, protect. I kind of got it for Catherine, my daughter, because she loves this color blue and she loves Baby Yoda. But I'm using it too because it's a nice, good sized mug. Well, the coffee is tasting good this morning. God's word is awaiting us. The seals of the scroll that was handed to the Lamb are being opened in today's chapter, and the first four seals bring forth the famous four horsemen of the apocalypse. So let's pray and ask God's wisdom as we dig into this part of his word together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for waking us up and giving us another day of life. Thank you for giving us your word and your spirit and giving us opportunities to grow in you. Oh, Father, would you lead us in your word by your spirit this morning? Help us to glorify and enjoy you. Help us to know you and trust in you. Help us to draw close to you and to respond to your word with faith and trust, obedience. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Revelation chapter 6. Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a loud voice like thunder, "Come!" And I looked, and behold, a white horse. And its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come!" And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth, so that people should slay one another, and he was given a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come!" And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and its rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come!" And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death. And Hades followed him, and they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, "O Sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, the full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, and the great ones, and the generals, and the rich, and the powerful, and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" This is certainly a very powerful and challenging chapter for us. But I do think we get a big clue as to what's happening in Revelation as a whole if we pay attention to the end of chapter 5 and the end of chapter 6 and several other places that are throughout the book. Last time on Friday, we said that at the end of chapter 5, we see every creature, everyone in heaven, on earth, and in the sea, and under the earth, all proclaiming, "Worthy is the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb to receive honor and power and glory and blessing and might. Worthy is the Lamb." And we saw that parallel to Philippians 2, that the day will come when every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we said that the end of Revelation 5 is actually the glorification of the Lamb, the glory of the Lamb, which comes when Jesus comes again and he judges everyone and every eye sees him. That's the end, right? It's the end of this age. It's judgment day. It's the day of the Lord. It's the glorification of the Lamb. It's the revelation of the Lamb and his glory. But we have the same thing here at the end of Revelation chapter 6. We have the end again. Very clearly, this sixth seal is the end of this current cosmos, the end of this current heaven and earth. I mean, the language is, throughout Scripture, this language is used of the great day of the Lord that will be the day to end all days, the day to end this age. But it's very, very clear that this is the end. I mean, there's no more stars, there's no more sky, there's no more mountains or islands. The kings are hiding, and they're saying, "The great day of the wrath of the one who sits on the throne and the Lamb has come." And notice the parallelism between these last verses of chapter 6 and the last verses of chapter 5. Both times you have everyone saying, "To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." In chapter 5, it was, "To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing, honor, glory, might, power." Here it's, "To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" So on that final day, there will be judgment that comes, but there will also be glory that is given to God and to the Lamb at the judgment. And so we see both of these things. That means Revelation 5 has brought us right up to the end of all things of this age. Revelation 6 has brought us right up to the end of all things at this age. And that means that we cannot view the book of Revelation as a continual unfolding timeline. So any approach to the book of Revelation that would say that, you know, we don't get to the second coming of Jesus, we don't get to the great day of the Lord, we don't get to judgment day until Revelation 19 or 20 or 21 is flawed, because it's very obvious that at the end of chapter 5 and at the end of chapter 6, and we'll see this a couple more places, end of chapter 11, other places where we're getting all the way up to the second coming, which means what we have here is what's called recapitulation, or sometimes it's called progressive parallelism. And all that means is that we're getting the same period of time, which is from the enthronement of the Lamb when he's given the seven seal scroll all the way up to the second coming of Jesus. We're given that same timeline over and over and over again, but from different perspectives, from different angles. The angle in chapter 5 was from the perspective of the worship that's given to the Lamb in heaven. And that's why it ended with the worship given to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Revelation 6 is from the perspective of an unfolding judgment on the earth, with a little bit of an interlude to see the martyrs, but it's unfolding judgment on the earth. So let's look at this together with that in mind. We have four horsemen. I believe what we're seeing here is the patterns of history as they unfold throughout the church age, from the time when Jesus is received in his ascension in heaven and is given the seven sealed scroll, to the time when he comes again. So we call that period the church age or the present age. It's also known in scripture as the last days or the end times. It's also known as the tribulation. So all of you realize in scripture, and we don't have time to get into all of this, but in scripture, the church age, the time between the ascension of Christ and his second coming, the last days, the end times, and the tribulation, are all five of those terms are referring to the same period of time. It's now. It's what we're living in now and have been living in since Pentecost and will be living in until Jesus comes again. Just do a search for the phrases last days or end times or final days or the last hour, and you'll see that even in the first century church, they were talking about that as now, not something that's yet to come in the future. So I think what we're seeing in Revelation is the unfolding of how history unfolds while Christ has been ascended into heaven and given the scroll, opening its seals, praised in heaven as the risen and exalted one, but before he comes again to judge the living and the dead. And so the first four seals open, and with the opening of each seal, you have one of the living creatures, and one of the living creatures says, "Come." And what comes forth are these horsemen, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. So the important thing to see about the four horsemen of the apocalypse is they are summoned from the throne of God by the four living creatures. In other words, they are sent by God to the earth to judge. The first is a ruler. He's given a bow and a crown, and he comes out to conquer. He is a ruler. And I think he represents all kingdom-seeking, empire-seeking rulers. He comes out to conquer. The second, the red horse, represents war. What happens when a ruler rises in the world who wants a great empire, a great kingdom? He makes war. He has to make war. That's how he advances his kingdom in the world. And then the third is famine, the black horse. And they're weighing out a quart of wheat is all you would get for a full day's wage. Or perhaps you would get 3 quarts of barley, which is a lesser quality grain, for a full day's wage. Do not harm the oil and the wine, meaning be very, very careful to very precisely and carefully measure out the oil and the wine. They're not free flowing. It's famine. Conquering kings make war, which leads to famine. And then finally, there is death. We're actually told the name of the fourth rider on the pale horse, death. And Hades follows him, death, and then the afterlife. And because in the face of conquering kings who make war and cause famine is death. But notice it's measured. They're given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with pestilence and wild beasts of the earth. There have always been, since Jesus came and ascended back into heaven and until he comes again, there have always been ambitious men who have set out to build names for themselves, to conquer the world, and to make war, whether we know them as Charlemagne or Napoleon or Hitler or Stalin, whoever. They're trying to build great kingdoms for themselves, and in the process of doing so, they make war, they cause famine and death. But we as believers need to know that this is all under God's hand. God is in control of this. He is sovereign over it, and he sets a limit to it. And then the fifth seal brings us to the martyrs. There have always been people who have been dying for their testimony in Jesus. From the first century until now, and until Jesus comes again. Stephen was the first martyr, and then James, the brother of John, son of Zebedee, was run through with the sword. 11 of the 12 apostles of the Lamb were put to death. John, at the time that he's given the revelation, is the last living apostle, and every other apostle has been put to death for their testimony. Hundreds of people in the church have been put to death for their testimony. And so, what about that? How do we handle that? How do we understand that God's people would be persecuted to the point of being put to death for their testimony? Well, we're given assurance that they are with the Lord. They are before his throne under the altar. So they are very, very close to God. And they cry out for justice. O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And the answer they're told, first they're given a white robe and they're told to rest. So they are given peace and rest. And they're told that they have to wait a little longer. It's always a little longer and it's always soon because we're always living in the last days and the end times and the final hour. In other words, Jesus could come at any time. But the specific answer they're given is until the number of their fellow servants and brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. And that means, parallel to that is, as the gospel goes forward, Jesus said, until this gospel of the kingdom reaches every people, the end won't come. But when it does, he will come. So the gospel has to reach all lands. The full number of God's people has to come into the kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ, which accompanying those realities is the full number of martyrs has to be brought in. And God has these things numbered. Even back in the first century, God had numbered the number of people who would give up their lives for their testimony in Jesus. And that is part of how the gospel goes forward into new places. Very often when the gospel comes into a new place, it is met with violent opposition and the martyrs' lives are taken in persecution. And that's part of why the wrath of God comes upon the earth, for the way they treat the martyrs. They treat the testimony of God's saints with violence. And so God tells them to wait a little longer. And then the little longer is over. You see, wait a little longer, and then the little longer is over. The sixth seal is opened, and we have Judgment Day. So, in Revelation 5, we have the unfolding of all of the church age from the enthronement of Christ as king in his ascension to glory. We've given the seven sealed scroll up until his second coming, where he's given full glory. And it's from the perspective of the glory given to the Lamb in heaven. Here, it's from the perspective of life on earth under the judgment of God in the tribulation during this age. But in both places, what we see is that God is in control. Everything unfolds according to his plan. And in the end, Christ is glorified and his people are brought home. These seven seals are the first of three sets of judgment that we'll be seeing in Revelation. The seven trumpets will come when the seventh seal is opened, which is coming in chapter 8. And then when the seventh trumpet sounds, the seven bowls come forward. It's kind of like those Russian nesting dolls, where within the seventh seal, there's seven trumpets, and within the seventh trumpet, there's seven bowls, which really means, if you see the end of this, there's one line at the end for the end of all of them. They're all describing the same period of time, just with growing intensity and urgency and sort of pushing us toward the end. So there's a lot to see there, but hopefully you get the big picture message, which is when we see troubling headlines, evil people conquering, making war, famine, death, martyrs, we should know God is in control of these things. These things are unfolding according to his purpose. He limits the extent of them, and he numbers the days of them. And we're heading toward that great and glorious day when we will all be together with him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is sovereign over all things, who reigns together with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Help us to trust in Christ and his sovereign authority. Help us to trust that all the calamity we see in this world is unfolding according to your plan, that you are in control and that you are wise and loving, and we can trust you. So help us to trust you, Father. We thank you for your word that gives us assurance of who you are in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, join us again on Wednesday morning as we turn to chapter 7 of Revelation and continue working our way through this wonderful book. Have a blessed day in the Lord.